They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A talk with billionaire George Soros on what to do about Europe and Russia.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Citrix with GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Soros in a moment, but first, the day's coming when you no longer simply check your Facebook, you get absorbed into Facebook. There's news it'll pay about $2 billion to buy a virtual reality company called Oculus VR. This is a maker of video game goggles called Oculus Rift that got early money from Kickstarter, the crowdfunding system. Oculus lets you look around digital space. People wearing the goggles tend to say two things: wow, and I think I feel sick. Marketplace's Noel King is here. Why does Facebook want to do this, Noel?
Well, gamers have been dreaming for a long time about this kind of wearable technology that makes you feel like you're actually in another world. Oculus makes a headset called Rift that's not widely commercially available yet, but it's really wowed some developers, and it has raised $90 million in venture capital. Facebook has said the $2 billion price tag was based only on profits they expect to make from gaming, but Mark Zuckerberg says his interest in the technology goes beyond games into other experiences. And as examples, he mentioned sitting courtside at a game or visiting a doctor just by putting on the goggles. Now, the problem with these kinds of virtual reality devices has always been two things. First, the technology can't quite produce the realistic feeling that people are craving, but Facebook is betting that the technology will catch up. And lastly, some people put the headsets on and have real problems with motion sickness. That's a problem that still hasn't been figured out. Oculus is aware of this and recently hired a virtual reality pro from the video game company Valve to try to work out the issue.
Marketplace's Noel King, thank you. Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.6%. The DAX in Frankfurt is up 1.3% now. The European Central Bank is sending a message that it might do more stimulus to keep dangerous deflation away in Europe. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The yield on the 10-year note is up to 2.75%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location with a young, well-educated, agile workforce at the ready. More at investni.com. By Join Me, an instant online meeting app used by millions of people to collaborate and get work done anywhere. More at join.me. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to ensure all students graduate high school prepared to succeed in college and careers.
The crisis in the Crimean Peninsula is a defining moment for Ukraine, possibly for Russia. But what about the European Union? The all-for-one, one-for-all idea that created the EU has become something more fractured in the last 5 years. But is it possible Russia's annexation of Ukraine is what pulls the EU back together? Billionaire investor and billionaire philanthropist George Soros, originally from Hungary, has been thinking about what to do with the EU and given the headlines about what to do with Russia. He has a new book structured as a series of interviews called The Tragedy of the European Union, Disintegration or Revival. He spoke to us from Berlin. Mr. Soros, good to talk with you again.
Same here.
Now, once upon a time, European countries tried to put together a grand bargain, maybe give up some sovereignty, but in return for creating a big market in which EU countries would be something close to equal partners. Now, that's not where we've ended up. What went wrong?
Well, it was the euro crisis that transformed this voluntary association of equals into a creditor-debtor relationship, and therefore the creditors are in charge. And because of this transformation, we have now reached a stage where you're going to have one political crisis after another. No sooner has the book been published, but you now have the crisis in Ukraine.
Europe, which you've thought so deeply about, is trying to come up with a response. I think you have a sense that the West should focus on helping Ukraine rather than what? Punishing Russia?
Yes. Ukraine is determined to reform, but it needs protection. There's a real danger. Putin will go beyond the Crimea. So there needs to be a strong deterrent. Actually, the strongest deterrent is in the hands of the United States because it can release oil from the strategic oil reserves and allow it to be sold in the world market, which would then reduce the price of oil, and that would ruin the Russian economy, which lives on oil.
Let me get this straight. The idea would be that perhaps the U.S. could release some of its oil from the reserves. That would lower the price, and that, you think, would be quite damaging for the Russian economy.
That is correct. And also, by imposing financial sanctions, actually what is happening right now, the Russian economy is very weak because the oligarchs who run the country don't trust it because there's no rule of law, and they send their money abroad to the extent they need. They bring it back. So the flight is weakening, and it's the inflow that needs to be cut off.
The U.S. presumably plays a role in this. But for Europe, it's your sense that as one of the greatest crises the EU has faced in its existence, it could be a catalyst for bringing often fractious EU countries together?
Yes, but you do need to stand united. That, I think, would not only transform the Ukraine, but I think it could also recapture this spirit of solidarity that was supposed to be the foundation of the European Union.
The book is called The Tragedy of the European Union, Disintegration or Revival. George Soros, investor, philanthropist, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And in the U.S., the Internal Revenue Service now says the virtual currency Bitcoin is property, an asset, not a currency. My colleague Patty Hirsch goes through some of the tax implications at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Museums as a business can be a curious proposition.
We're not interested in going after the thing that costs a lot of money. We're interested in going after the thing that can make a difference in terms of how we see the past.
I'm Kai Rizdal with the President in Europe and Russia in Crimea, a museum of the Cold War, next time on Marketplace from APM.
Confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.